With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Slight push in there. The Farsley fans not happy with that.
Another
sliding one there.
That's possibly another sending off.
That's the second one. That was
it's Cal
right
Finnegan, and it's a straight red for Cal Finnegan.
Red card. And that's the captain, Cal Finnegan.
Yeah.
And the second in 2 minutes. Unbelievable stuff.
Live Sports FM there from Tuesday night with one of the many dramatic moments from the opening week of the EvoStick Northern Premier League. Welcome to this week's NPL show. And coming up on this week's show, we'll have reaction from the opening week of the league campaign, as we'll be joined by the managers at Marine, Stalybridge Celtic, Whitby Town and Hensford Town. We'll also be talking the FA Cup with Radcliffe Borough. Ant Taylor from Yorkshire Coast Radio will also be joining us to talk about Scarborough against Whitby Town. And we'll have a full fixture preview with Thomas Feeney from the non-league paper. All of that and loads more on this week's NPL show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to EvoStick NPL show live. You join us here, funnily enough, live at Bower Fold, the home of Stalybridge Celtic. And it's Tuesday evening and it's Stalybridge Celtic against Marine this evening in the EvoStick Northern Premier League Premier Division. One of several matches taking place this evening across the Northern Premier League. Full commentary coming your way in 16 minutes time or so. And we'll be joined this evening by Roy Sewell, who'll be joining us very, very shortly. But of course, this is the second NPL show live we've done this week. We were at Ewan Fields on Saturday afternoon for that match between Hyde United and Basford United, and it was a very, very close game, and in the end the Tigers took all 3 points.
Here's Harrison bombing down this near side, plays it in field for Tom Pratt. He's got Tempest for company but manages to swivel away from him, gives it now to Daly, back into Pratt, but it's a little bit short for him there and he's having to wiggle through a couple more plays. Great ball into Mill, Jalaka scores! Diving header, 1-0 to the Tigers, and what great work that was there by Tom Pratt, who spun away from two markers, put the ball on the plate there for Chip Jalaka, who that was a proper diving header. It was Henrik Larsson-esque.
Yeah.
It weren't too far out, 6 yards or so, but he had to get it on target and the keeper was well beaten. 1-0 to the Tigers.
All about the cross, that Berkey, was it? He just stood it up. Chalaka, well, I was going to say he could have missed, but he could have even like taken a touch and buried it. He was on his own one and he just steadied himself, didn't need to just stoop, and the ball dribbled in the end. But what a cross from Tom Pratt that was.
Berkey and Luke Edwards there from 26-0 on Saturday, and a big thank you for sharing the airwaves with us on Saturday afternoon. So Hyde United off to a flyer, 3 points in their opening game. And after the match, here's what Darren Kelly, manager of Hyde United, had to say.
We asked and demand, because you know what, they can control it, is 100% work ethic. That, you know, that's where the honesty comes with that. You just hope that the quality and them extra bits and pieces come along with that. But I thought today, every player come off the bench was exceptional in terms of their work ethic and the quality. There was a lot of quality we had. You know, I thought we deserved, you know, the result overall. You look at the chances we had compared to them, they had a couple of half decent, but you know, Crookie had no real save to make. But we had a lot of really good chances. It could have been more, but do you know what? Credit to them, they're a good side. They'll get some, you know, good results. They want to be up there this season, and you know, we want to go about what we do quietly and effectively. We're not going to call any, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We have a game to look forward to at Witten on Tuesday, and we'll look forward to that. And as I say, absolutely buzzing and delighted with 3 points.
So there was Darren Kelly speaking on Saturday after getting those 3 points for Hyde United. And as you mentioned there, Witten Albion against Hyde United is the match this evening, live from Winsham Park. And that'll be on 26-0 if you can't be bothered listening to us. Roy Sewell joins us this evening. Hello, Roy. How are you?
I'm fine, Ben. How's yourself?
I'm all good. Obviously, Hyde United, 3 points there. For Basford United, they played on Monday against Hensford, and on the podcast version we'll be hearing from Rob Smith of Hensford Town. Hensford Town winning 2-1 away from home at Basford United. Not been the best of starts for Basford, but you've had experience of Division 1 South over the years. It is a bit of a step up,
and to be honest, really consistency of Basford, you know, over the last say 3 seasons or so, you know, hold them in good stead, and I don't think they'll struggle for too long. You know, they've got a couple of lads there, you know, that are decent and know what they're doing, and you know, they'll get about were winding the sleeves up and getting the Reds thinking and trying to find the solutions here, there and everywhere.
And that can be said as well for Matlock. Obviously, it was one of those seasons. Last season didn't quite happen for them, but off to a great start on Saturday. They beat Lancaster City at home by 4-0 in front of a crowd of over 400 there at Causeway Lane. And here's David Hull, manager of Matlock, after the match.
First 10 minutes were a little bit shaky, but me and Sean knew that had happened. You know, the expectation what we put on the boys this season is possibly a little bit higher than what they've been used to. No disrespect to the other clubs where they've come from. I'm really pleased with the work rate, the attitude, and when we got it down, we knocked it about a bit and we looked dangerous every time we went forward. So it's good attacking football, good performance.
I've heard a few fans singing top at league. That must not be something that enters to your mind at this point.
Well, if you were there, he was there with the radio show. We should have had it wrapped up by February, haven't we?
Yeah, I think that's what was said.
Yeah, but no, we'll enjoy the moment today. But I'm not behind the door. Football can be turned upon its head within a matter of days. But no doubt we're going to enjoy this because it was a good performance and the boys have worked hard through pre-season and it just goes to show the hard work's paid off today. So they know that they're not going to get carried away. We've had a bit of a chat at full time. Give the praises where praises were due. Ask for a little bit more for certain individuals. Told them to be a little bit honest if they could have done better, what they could have done, you know, a little bit quicker, sharper. So always testing the individuals and the team. So, you know, hopefully with tongue in cheek, there's a little bit more to come. So the boys are buzzing, so we'll enjoy themselves today and then we'll go again Tuesday.
And Dave Hull, manager of Matlock, and keeping it low, obviously one game in, top of the league. Mm-hmm. but that's a healthy start for Matlock, Roy.
It's a great start for Matlock, and to be honest, I mean, let's hope that they're over their trials and tribulations of making good starts, and then round about Christmas time, you know, they fall apart a little bit. They have a good tradition of producing decent footballers and good teams there, and playing football in the right manner. And I've always enjoyed going there, you know, taking the team on, and doing our best as well. I think my record ain't too bad against them, but that's by the by.
All right, right.
It's not about me. you're exactly right.
But congratulations to Matlock Town on a great start. For Matlock Town, it's a tough second sequel to that match. It's Scarborough Athletic away on Tuesday night, and Scarborough Athletic got off to a great start at the weekend, beating Hensford Town at Keys Park by 1-0. We'll get more on Scarborough on this week's podcast if they get a good result this evening, we should say. Also, though, having a good result, and this is a great result, was Farsley Celtic at the weekend. Farsley Celtic travelling to Warrington and beating them by 2-0. Second in the league as we go to where on Tuesday evening. Here's Adam Laitland post-match.
You know, we knew it would be a very difficult game here. It's never easy coming to Warrington, and you always want to get some points on board in your first game. Obviously, everybody wants three, but I think away from home, we probably would have took a point today. But, you know, first game's always difficult because you're led by what you see in pre-season, and teams are, you know, they'll change a little bit in the next few weeks with personnel and stuff. So for us, you know, the priority really was coming here keeping a clean sheet, because I always feel we've got goals in us. So delighted that we've kept a clean sheet, restricted them to very few. I can't remember Ed having a single save to make, to be honest, and delighted.
Move on to Tuesday, another tough game. It's a tough start to the season, isn't it? But you'd be encouraged by what we've produced today. Obviously South Shields will be probably up there at the end of the season, but
yeah, I think they're probably favourites, and you probably have to say rightly so. You know, they've had a tremendous run the last few years. They've got, you know, good team, good resources, they play really good football. We played them 3 times last season, and we drew every time with them in 90 minutes. So we know what a good side they are, and you know, but it's our first home game. It's Tuesday night under the lights, so we can go into that obviously off the back of this 3 points here today and the clean sheet, and we'll just be looking to try and get another positive result.
Adam Laitland there, and a big thank you as always to Farsley's media team. Is it too soon to say that it's a 6-pointer tonight? Farsley Celtic against South Shields. South Shields on Saturday, great result, beating Witton Albion by 2-1. Should say that match is available on Live Sports this evening. But South Shields against Farsley, at Farsley. That's a big game already, isn't it?
It is a big game, but when you go to places like Farsley, you know, similar to Frickley, they put the shutters up. You have to fight and battle for everything. You know, they're not always what I consider great footballing teams, but it's certainly worth the money as regards their effort and the commitment. Tremendous. And a lot of it comes off, you know, the managers that are in those two clubs. You know, they're committed and they give all their efforts, you know, to come out with the right results and play, you know, to the strengths of the players.
What do you make of it's early days, isn't it, for Warrington?
It is, yeah. But
I mean, to play a fellow playoff team from last season in your opening game, it could go one of three ways, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, Warrington have big aspirations, don't they? And so, you know, they'd have been a little bit upset at kicking their season off like that, especially at home as well. You know, it is a tight ground, and you know, Warrington play in a certain manner on that ground. So, you know, it wouldn't have been very tasteful for them anyway, put it that way.
Well, we're here this evening for Marine against Stalybridge Celtic here at the home of Stalybridge Celtic, Bowerfold. We have full commentary coming your way very, very shortly. But before the match, I caught up with Marine's manager, Tommy Lawson. So let's hear what he had to say firstly about that result on Saturday against Northobie United, a 1-1 draw.
So, Tommy, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations, a point on the board against Northobie. How was Saturday?
At times frustrating, to be fair. Like, there's all kinds of expectations, isn't there, in the first game of the season, and everyone's geared up to it. We were, they were. It was, you know, all the spectators were looking forward to so much, and it was almost like it was a little bit of an anti-climax, you know. But yeah, I think it was a tale of us missing the penalty, which was vital. I think if that goes in, I thought we'd have won comfortably. We had enough chances on the day, you know, that we created to make it a positive performance. But as I say, it was frustrating, you know. But yeah, you know, it's out the way now. It's, you know, the season's in gear now, so we kick on.
What's your expectations coming into the season for what Marine can do?
Well, for the last four or five seasons, Marine have actually fought relegation, and that's under four managers. And what we've tried to do this year, we've tried to change the structure of how we play. I want to go back more towards the way we played when I managed at Prescott, the way I managed at Skimmersdale. You know, we had a reputation for playing like a certain brand of football, which was easy on the eye, but attracted a lot of scouts, and, you know, we're trying to go back to that, and on the basis of that, we let 10 players out at the end of last season. So we're a new group, really, and we will bed in hopefully sooner rather than later. And when we do, we're hoping that we can take the club forward.
Now, you played Northobie on Saturday. Obviously, they're joining us from the National League North, playing a team tonight, Stalybridge Celtic, who made that similar journey last season. I mean, what did you think of Northobie and what you expected from Stalybridge?
I thought Federby was wholehearted. You know, it was like first game of the season. Their tails were up. They'd come to Marine. They come with a little bit of fire in their belly. It was good. You know, as I say, they never let themselves down. And I thought they were absolutely delighted at the end with the point. This will be a little bit different. Again, I think they're similar to us, Stalybridge. They have regrouped and you know, introduced a whole different range of players. And again, I think it'll take them a little bit of time as well as us to you know, call it a team. It's a group of players at the moment, and, you know, it takes a while to be called a team.
So 10 changes from the squad from last season for Tommy Lawson's side, and the teams are now out on the pitch. Stalybridge now playing the ball forward to the edge of the penalty area. The ball goes. Ooh. It breaks to Tom Brown. It shoots.
Oh, yes.
What a shot there. Tom Brown from outside the penalty area for Stalybridge Celtic. And on 5 minutes, Stalybridge take the lead. Switches play out towards the right-hand side. Controlled by Liam Tong. Liam Tong now has got time to pick across. He finds the shot. What a shot. And it was a shot. There was so much weight on that shot. It had to be one. How far out's that? About 45 yards?
40-odd yards, yeah. From the wing as well. It flew in like an exocet. An absolute tremendous right foot shot. It's near enough. It's not that. It's only about 20 yards off the halfway line. He's at an angle.
He's got to have meant that, hasn't he? That's a better ball. And Brady there, not the best of back passes. And, out of nothing.
Josh Hines.
Here is Marsden, lays the ball off here to Tom Brown. Tom Brown in his left foot shoots into the bottom corner. And well, Tom Brown gets his second goal of the night, and Mikey's first. It's a bit special, that one.
Oh, sweet, yeah, left foot shot.
Not quite Lance Chance Saloon, but we're getting there. 6 minutes left to play here. Marine trailing by 3-1 at Stalybridge Celtic. Long ball played forward here for Mitchley to get onto. Mitchley pushed it in back there by Brady and brought down. And he's giving a penalty.
Ooh.
An opportunity here for Marine. Mitchley steps up, slots it in to the left-hand corner. The goalkeeper's right. The goalkeeper went left. And Marine, it's 3-2. Simon, congratulations.
An heart attack.
Thanks for joining us on NPL Show Live. Much
cheers.
Appreciated.
Thank you.
Cracking game of football.
First things first,
I mean, what did you make of that first half performance? Because it was superb up until the Marine goal.
Yeah, I thought we were brilliant for 20-25 minutes, and we were probably a bit kind on them, really. We let them off the hook. I thought we should have won the game in that spell. Maybe a penalty, but Greg's hit the post, etc. We should have been 3 or 4. Job done. Then we just took our foot off the gas, started to think we're better than what we were, playing in silly areas, and we gave them a real soft goal and a foot back in it. And then second half was not a lot in it, was there? No team was doing anything great. We got ourselves in front with some good play, we're in control, and we've again given 5 minutes of a nervous finish. So we've gone from being excellent defensively Saturday to a bit shaky today, so that's disappointing.
The first question I've got, obviously Tom Brown scored 2 goals tonight and special goals in their own right, really, but Liam Tong on that right hand side, he meant that, didn't he? He absolutely thunderbolt.
Do you know what, he can't do that. He's on the long range free kicks, and he's a talented boy, and he was a bit worked up tonight because he was from Marie, you know, played at Marie.
Yeah, he's played with Tommy a few times, hasn't he?
Yeah, so he was a bit worked up. He wanted to get the result done, but I thought he was excellent, and I thought we'd done lots of good things in periods for a new team that's been thrown together, but there's still plenty to work on.
I think like the first 40 minutes he controlled it completely, and then that silly through ball that came through that really should have been dealt with by his centre half.
Yeah.
The speed of Hind is everybody's knows of it.
Yeah.
And he was quality in his finish, but it was a little bit of a wake-up call for you, you know, to say, you know, just before half-time, second half, you're in a battle. And really, they came out and they done well.
They did, yeah.
But I just felt that you took your foot off the accelerator with your passing.
Yeah.
You're starting to get caught in possession a little bit more.
Yeah.
And those little diagonals that you was working in the first half,
stop doing them.
Weren't as prevalent. Yeah.
Roy loves diagonal balls, and you were doing them so well in that first half.
We were, and they dropped off, and we were getting in behind, and they didn't like it, and we were pulling them about quite a bit, and then we've almost scored 2 goals, and it was almost a little bit too easy, or we were that dominant.
It was, yeah.
And, you know, footballers do.
Well,
we've cracked it, we've won it, and he took the foot off the gas, and I think if we come in 2-0, we probably come out and then control the game a lot better. We've given him a lifeline, and fair play to him.
Well, I thought Wilkinson in the first half was your main man. Mm. He sat in this little pocket here between the midfield and the fullback, and he dictated, and a lot of those little, they were the short and they were long diagonals, were quality. You know, it stretched them out all over the show, which allowed you those little spaces, you know, to make those runs.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have seen Greg Wilkinson probably as much as me, but Greg has everything, doesn't he? Mm. It's getting Greg to do that consistently.
Yeah, that is it.
On Saturday, he lost his position. He stayed on this left side a lot more today, and he did what Greg can do. You
quality.
Know, he's got real quality, and I'm delighted it's 4 points from the first six, and they are a real new group of lads, but as you can see, the desire's there and the hunger's there, and they're working for each other, so that's something.
I was going to ask you, I mean, last season, it was a disappointing season, it was very flat. The start to this season, you must be, you know, it's 4 points from a possible six, it's been a good start, and you got Warrington this weekend.
I'm thrilled, mainly because you can see they're trying to do the right things, and they'll only get better. We played Mickle over on Saturday, and they weren't bad, they were good. And they were practiced at what they'd done. You could see it was a work in progress over a longer period. So I think that might be a valuable sort of point. They weren't bad. And I felt we needed to win tonight, especially after the first 20. But 4 from 6, I'm made up with them, really.
I mean, what's your... it's a new thing for yourself as well. I mean, what are you expecting this season for Stalybridge?
We just need to move forward. It's been, you know, I'm speaking from afar, but the last 3-4 seasons there's been relegations, near relegations. Last year it would have gone if it weren't for the restructuring. So I've tried to get a buzz about the place off the field, which we've done, and hopefully now getting a couple of results early, everyone can start sort of getting behind the team. But at times you can feel that air of they're almost used to losing and used to teams collapsing in front of them, amongst the support and amongst people. It's almost here we go again. So we're trying to get out of that.
We were at Hyde on Saturday, and that club's had a, you know, it was defeat after defeat, relegation after relegation. It takes a long
time. It becomes
a
habit, and everyone's almost waiting for it, you know, and that spreads to the field. So if we can get some results, these might just say, hey, we're going to be okay.
Simon Howarth there, manager at Stalybridge Celtic, and welcome back from the past to the present, and pre-recorded live now where you join us on Wednesday after all those results on Tuesday night. And a big thank you to Stalybridge Celtic and Roy Sewell for their hospitality and joining us for MPL Show Live on Tuesday evening. And congratulations to Stalybridge and commiserations to Marine, but a great evening's worth of football. And joining me now to discuss what also happened on Tuesday night in the EvoStick Northern Premier League Premier Division, it's the social media officer from the marvellous Northern Premier League. It's James Hayes. Hello, James. How are they?
It's nice to follow Stalybridge up with Stalybridge, isn't it, Ben?
It is, yeah. So from Stalybridge, back to Stalybridge. Later on, we're going to be hearing from Thomas Fiennes with a fixture preview. We're also going to be joined by Tom Clayton from Live Sports, talking about that remarkable game between Farsley and South Shields. Ant Taylor's coming on as well from Yorkshire Coast Radio to talk about Scarborough. We've also got interviews with Rob Smith at Hensford, Chris Hardy at Whitby Town. And we're also going to be joined very shortly by the chairman at Radcliffe. Paul Hilton will be joining us as well, because why not have two people from Radcliffe on the show? Right, anyway. It's all happening at Radcliffe. Let's start with the football from Tuesday night, and then we'll talk a bit about the FA Cup and why we're talking about Radcliffe. We have to start off with the Farsley Celtic match. We started up the show with the commentary from Tuesday night. Farsley Celtic 4, South Shields 1. South Shields going down to 9 men in that game. Let's start things off by talking to the commentator from Live Sports FM, who commentated on this astonishing match at Throstle's Nest. And on Thursday morning, I caught up with Tom Clayton.
Yeah, it was a very interesting match. I mean, obviously, we were expecting kind of a bit of a titanic struggle between the two South Shields looking to, you know, go on the fourth consecutive promotion chase, and Farsley looking to go one better than just reaching the playoffs last year. But I don't think anyone was really expecting the kind of night we got. You know, 2 red cards, 5 goals. It was just a brilliant occasion to be there. And the fans were brilliant as well, because they were really getting into the game. And we were sat next to the board of directors, and there was so much passion from every side. And it was just a great atmosphere to be in. They had the second man sent off on 25 minutes and didn't score until the hour mark. So I didn't concede until the hour mark. What was the most impressive thing for me was it was how they pulled together, how they showed off a lot of really well-drilled discipline. You know, you can tell that the managers are doing a really good job down there, especially in the defensive drills. And that's probably why they're looking like one of the sides that's going to be going up this season, or certainly challenging for that. And, you know, as well, what was very impressive was the fact that they actually managed to pull a goal back despite being 2 players down.
Yeah, and 2-0 down. Like you said, it was 2-1 at 82 minutes before Farsley stretched the legs a bit. I mean, it's well documented what South Shields are bringing to the table, 3 back-to-back promotions and loads of fans, like you say, and a very experienced management team. But the interesting side of things is Farsley Celtic. Everyone on the preview show was pretty much of the view that Adam Lakeland, it's going to be a continuation of last season, if not better. What was your sense of how Farsley Celtic are developing into this season?
Well, obviously, it's only the second match of the season, so it's tough to judge. They had a good pre-season, though, winning 6 of the 9 matches. So, you know, they're coming into this season, I think, well, we could tell there was a bit of a swagger about them on the pitch, especially in the second half, once they actually had the win behind them and they were starting to put some goals away. And, you know, they've got some good attacking options. They did look promising. Chris Atkinson played really well. Lewis Turner was really good. He rattled the crossbar a couple of times, actually. Will Hayhurst as well, he was quality. So they've got some really good options, and I think their biggest threat this year will be the sort of swinging out from the wide areas, because they were playing 3 at the back as well.
And obviously there's Nathan Cartman, just a small matter of Nathan Cartman as well.
Of course.
Who goes before him. But just before you go, Tom, just a quick mention for Live Sports FM. Loads of commentaries this weekend, especially the FA Cup. But it's one of those stations which encourages people to get involved. What's it like being part of it?
It's a brilliant setup, really. You know, we don't have like a specific base. We don't go to specific areas. You know, we have people based all over the country. So people, you know, people who want to be a commentator or who want to get involved, they just get in touch with us via Facebook, which is at Live Sports FM, just a casual plug there. Yeah, so all you need to do is just get in touch and you know, we'll talk to you about it, see what you're interested in, because we don't just do football as well. We do rugby, we do tennis, we do cricket. You know, we do all sorts of things, and it's a great atmosphere as well, because everyone's nice, everyone's in it for the same reason. And, you know, whether you're in my situation, a budding TV commentator, radio commentator, or whether you're just wanting to do a bit on the side, it's a great thing to be involved with.
Tom Clayton there from Live Sports FM. Fazer Celtic leading the way after two games, but joining Fazer Celtic up at the top is Whitby Town. This is very, very intriguing. Their second win of the season on Tuesday night, beating North Ferriby United by 1-0 away from home. Let's hear now from the manager. And on Thursday, I caught up with Chris Harder.
Yeah, couldn't get a better start than that, could you? Like you say, clean sheets, obviously, home and away win. Absolutely delighted with the start.
And obviously, we spoke a couple of times last season, and it was a very difficult season for the club. I mean, what was your expectations heading into this season? Because you have been recruiting quite well. It's been noticeable.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, at the end of last season, we had a number of players go out. A number of players that maybe in a different scenario, we would have maybe kept these players, you know, at the club. So we left a few voids that needed to be filled. I think we've recruited quite well. We're still, you know, looking to recruit. We're still looking to try and bring players in that are going to improve the group. But on the whole, like you say, you know, the start to the season with the two wins has you know, led to a lot of positivity in around the football club.
And obviously this form, you take this form from the opening week into the bank holiday weekend, two very, very big games coming up. I mean, you've got Witton Albion on Saturday, and then we'll come to the derby in a second. But the Witton Albion coming, that's a bit of a marker there and a bit of a test for your boys. How's the squad shaping up for this weekend?
It is a marker. It is a test. Obviously, at the moment, a lot of the press is geared around the Scarborough game. We certainly won't be taking our eye off the ball, you know, regarding Saturday. That's where the focus will be. That's where it needs to be. And then come, you know, 5 o'clock on Saturday, we can then switch our attentions to Monday. From the point of view of the squad, we've got a couple of casualties. Lee Bullock is nursing an injury at the moment. And Alex White is unavailable. But other than that, we're going to the into the game, you know, full strength.
It's a bit of a trip into the unknown, this, as well, for Whitby. It's a proper big derby, this, all of a sudden, with Scarborough on Monday. How are you coping with the pressure of that side of things and all the publicity behind it?
Well, it's nice. Like you said, it's brought about an interest, which is positive. And like you say, especially given the fact that we start well at the season, it feels right at the moment. You know, and like you say, from the game on Monday's point of view, it's a proper derby, and I've quoted this a few times, you know, with the press over the last week. Like you say, from the point of view of trying to have teams such as Blyth Spartans, Farsley Celtic passed off as derby games, you know, for all you like to try and dress it up, they're not derby games. You know, these teams logistically are a million miles away from Whitby, whereas Scarborough, that's a proper derby game, you know. Two local sides, East Coast sides, like you say, fans, you know, working in similar environments. You know, it's just got all the ingredients for the proper derby.
Chris Hardy there joining us from Whitby Town. James Hayes is still with us. There was a bit of a question mark, but I think with Dale Hobson coming in, it's kind of all fitted together quite nicely.
Yeah, return of, well, not just with Hobson as well. You had Gil returning to the club in the last couple of weeks just before the start of pre-season, and he's worked his magic in both of those two games at the same time. Yeah, granted, they've been 1-0 wins, but you win your first two games like that, aren't you? Rather than get beat 6-7-0, surely. But yeah, Whitby Town picking up where they were two seasons ago, I think.
We should say, we know this is stating the obvious, but it is early days. So we still have to produce a show every week. So we are going to make some outlandish statements here based on very little stats or detail or any form of evidence. Just go with it, listener. It'll all fall into place. And by April, we'll nail it. Matlock Town were the early leaders after one game. They were out in front. A good result on Tuesday night, though. And we obviously heard from Dave Hoole earlier following that 4-0 win at the weekend. But on Tuesday night, Scarborough Athletic 2, Matlock Town 2. An away point there for Matlock Town. We'll hear from Scarborough in a second, as we'll be hearing from Ant Taylor. But Matlock, it's a good start. Like Whitby, are we seeing the Matlock of two seasons ago?
I think we are a little bit. This again, they made some great signings in the off season, and don't think anyone expected them to go get a point from Scarborough in the midweek either. Maybe bright days at Matlock now.
Now, Matlock are in third, also in third. Pretty much, they are. I mean, they're on 4 points. Fifth place, Scarborough Athletic. A 2-2 draw there at the Flamingo Land Stadium on Tuesday night. It's been a good start for Scarborough in the playoffs. Let's call it for what it is, James. And on Thursday, I caught up with a commentator from Yorkshire Coast Radio. Here's Ant Taylor.
So where we were last season, we've both got 4 points. Obviously, we've done it differently this time. We've won, then drawn. It's great. It's some really good football. Tuesday night against Matlock, we were really unlucky not to win by a few more goals. Matlock, for their, you know, their credit, they fought back. They needed to, you know, and they did it with 10 men for some of it. And, you know, they got what they got. It was really, really good match, really entertaining. Like when you were there at FC United for the pre-season friendly, I thought we played really well in that game, even though we lost. So, yeah, it's been great so far.
Now, let's talk about game of the bank holiday weekend. And I think it is, actually. It's Scarborough against Whitby Town. And from my Lancashire perspective, when I came up to the Flamingo Land Stadium for pre-season, I was quite taken aback by how much people are looking forward to this game, because I was like, oh, I didn't know it was like a big rivalry. But it's turned into quite a nice rivalry over the past couple of weeks. And is everyone looking forward to this game now?
That's all everyone's been told since the fixtures have come out, even before the fixtures when we got promoted. I think even when we got told, that's it, we're going to be in the next league, everyone's been talking about the Whitby game. And I'm sure it's been the same with the Whitby fans as well, talking about the Scarborough game. We've had a couple of run-ins as well through the season. Last season we beat them in the cup. We've beaten them a couple of times in pre-season friendly. We've beaten them twice in the same cup last season, the season before, at Bridlington as well when we were there. So we have got a bit of an edge on them at the moment, but it's a league, anything can happen. It's a Derby Day or D-Day. And, you know, it is exciting. I'm excited. It's just going to be two teams. It's like a traditional football match. You've got the red team, the blue team. And that's all you need to know on a pitch. It's going to be really exciting. And it's something I'm looking forward to.
And I should be fair, he's going to be on Whitby Town Radio. Just to say, the press section at Flamingo Land Stadium is very spacious. So there's room for Whitby Town Radio and for Yorkshire Coast Radio too. That's covered. But for those people who like the Scarborough perspective of things, how could people tune in and that kind of thing throughout the season to come?
Well, the thing is, I think both Whitby and Scarborough are doing it from Yorkshire Coast Radio as well.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, so we're all there. We're all going to be there. There's going to be a few of us in there. I was talking to Paul last night about it. I think there's going to be quite a few of us in there. It's going to look like something like Soccer Saturday, and it's going to be El Costico, as we're going to call it now.
Ant Taylor there making his debut on the NPL show. It's been a long time coming, but we finally got him on to talk about Scarborough Athletic there. Also on 4 points, let's talk about Bamber Bridge, James. A great win on Tuesday night. Bamber Bridge 3, Workington 2. Bamber Bridge in fourth, James. Fourth.
Yeah, we've two good results as well.
I think we'll get Renault on in a couple of weeks, just when the table's settled a bit. But we will be hearing from Bamber Bridge. It's been a great start for them. Stalybridge up to sixth following that win on Tuesday night. A great game of football, and obviously it's a defeat for Marine. But I think Marine are going to be okay this season as well. We obviously heard from Tommy Lawson earlier. Hyde United seventh following up that win against Basford United on Saturday. Witton Albion 1, Hyde United 1. Now, we're having chats with Berkey following that result there. And Hyde United getting away with a point, I think we can describe it. Witton unlucky.
Yeah, again, Hyde just finding the defeat in the division a little bit, it seems like. But again, good win against Basford on the opening day of the season.
And in eighth position, also on 4 points, got Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town drawing 0-0 with Buxton, following up their Saturday victory against Gainsborough Trinity. Gainsborough Trinity off the mark now in ninth position, following their victory against Michelover Sports, 2-0. In 10th, we've got Warrington. This must be a bit of a relief. Lancaster City 1, Warrington Town 3. So Gainsborough and Warrington, good results there from Tuesday, bouncing back after disappointing opening day defeats.
Yeah, well, again, Farsley was never going to be an easy game for Warrington. Let's remember that. We even said that on last week's show ourselves. They've made some great signings in the last week too. I think what people were saying, they're going to take it a bit easier this year. Tolbert's listened to you. He said he's not having any of it. him and Paul Carlin have just gone out and brought some two cracking signings in.
I don't mean it, Tolbert. I don't mean it. Anyway, right. There's just one last result we need to talk about from Tuesday evening, and that finished Stafford Rangers 1, Grantham Town 1. That's the first points on the board there for Stafford Rangers, and it's played 2, drawn 2 for Grantham Town. So steady as she goes in the opening week of the season. That's all the results from Tuesday night. What about the result from Monday evening? Hensford Town getting a 2-1 victory against Basford United. Hensford Town, their first win of the season. And on Wednesday morning, I caught up with the manager at Hensford Town. Here's Rob Smith. So, thanks for joining us, Rob. Before we get to this weekend's match, congratulations for Monday's night's result. That was a superb result, that's on Monday against Basford.
Yeah, it was. They were a really good side. Second half, they absolutely bombarded us, but we stood firm, and I think it'll prove to be a valuable 3 points at the end of it, because, as I say, I think they'll be a top side.
Now, you played two former Step 4 sides then in the space of 48 hours, one from Division 1 North, one from Division 1 South. Going into this season, a lot of chatter has been about the strength of the teams who've been promoted into the division. What have you made of the pair of them this past week?
Yeah, it probably sums us up, really. I look this summer in that, the two sides you probably don't want to play are teams that are promoted, because they're still running on the adrenaline from last year, and we got both in the first two fixtures. Which is about standard, really, at the moment. Again, it just goes to show the quality. I think both sides will be certainly top sides this season. It just goes to show the strength of the league. I fully expect Scarborough, with the backing they've got, to be right up there. And as I say, Basford again, very, very impressed. So it really does go to show that this league's as strong as it ever has been.
Now, you talk about the strength of the league, Rob, and part of that strength is Hensford Town, a great club with lots of tradition and a fantastic stadium. But for a long time, you weren't going to be part of the NPL family, and that leads me on to the summer you've just had. When I was going to ask you, what's it like having a pre-season under your belt? But it's been very, very chaotic, hasn't it, due to circumstances. How difficult has it been recruiting this summer?
I can't describe how bad it's been. It's we spent 6 weeks from the end of the season recruiting players, because we knew we were in the Southern Central Division, and we always knew there was a couple of sides geographically more north than us. So if anything did happen, which eventually did with Shore Lane, we knew that there was two sides more north. So we didn't expect anything to be moved back into the north. So we had to let go all our northern-based players, including captain and top goalscorer. And then we recruited from the south. So that was what we spent the first 6 weeks of the summer doing. And we were very confident we'd do well in that division, only to be told early July that they were moving us back. So literally, we went down. We felt we had a strong case to appeal at Wembley Stadium, because it was all based around whether that was a reasonable decision, and the FA should have discussed it with us as part of their rules, which they didn't. And in any court of law, we'd have won the case because we had such a strong case, but being the organisation it was, we were just dismissed out of hand, as in somebody's got to go in that league and it might as well be you, which is totally unreasonable. So we started pre-season, and then obviously a lot of those players left as well. So it left us in a position where we've played 11 pre-season friendlies, which is way too much, and we've basically just used trialists throughout those games, and it's been totally unsatisfactory.
I mean, when we think you've got 3 points from a possible 6 from the opening 2 matches, that's quite a result, really, isn't it, given the pre-season you've had?
It is. It definitely is. And, you know, fair play to the lads that have stuck with us. You know, they've really worked hard. And we're going to evolve because we're still looking at players. We're still signing players. You know, I'd probably say we're probably 3, 4, 5 weeks behind other clubs, which is so disappointing for the whole club.
What's your expectations for what Hensford can achieve if all the building blocks find themselves in the right positions for you?
I have to say, I don't know. It just depends how the squad molds together and what we can bring in as we go along. You know, the club's certainly capable of getting into a playoff position. But as I say, this start, the summer that we've had has definitely put us back. But we're just trying to use it as a motivation, really. And so, you know, I'm hoping that things will be okay. We've got a real tough weekend coming up with Farsley on Monday and Gainsborough on Saturday. I was very impressed with last night. So we've got tough times ahead. But if we can ride the storm over the next month or so, you know, I'm still positive that we can get into a playoff position.
Rob Smith there joining us, and let's talk about the FA Cup then. The FA Cup is taking place this weekend. We will be having a fixture preview with Tom Feeney very shortly from the Yorkshire Evening Post. But let's talk about the FA Cup and the preliminary rounds taking place this weekend. Unfortunately, for Bamber Bridge and for Hyde United, they're starting the FA Cup early, and that's due to the realignment stuff during the summer in the non-league game. So Hyde United make their debuts in this season's FA Cup. They'll be hosting Sheffield FC Hyde United, whilst Bamber Bridge are their away at Stocksbridge Park Steels. So Division 1 West and Division 1 East joining the fun and games. Speaking of fun and games, now I'm a bit worried, James, because, you know, I've got 3 kids and I worry about the future. Obviously, mankind's it's a very challenging period for the human species. And, you know, there's a lot of terrible things going on in the world. And to be fair, the apocalypse is only around the corner. We all know it. And just as long as FC United get promoted before that happens. Radcliffe, top of the league after 3 games, James, I think is one of the signs that I didn't want to see at this stage of my life. What's going on?
We've been playing well. I mean, it's only been 2 games we've won so far, but 4-1 win against Clitheroe, 2-0 win away at Widnes on the opening day of the season. We're speechless at Radcliffe, I'll be honest with you, as a fan. We're not used to this ourselves.
Just to balance this out, also unbeaten after 2 games, we've got Colwyn Bay, Mosley and Cone, and it's been good starts as well for Leeketown and Drolsden in Division 1 West. But it is all eyes on the FA Cup this weekend. For the full fixture list, head over to evostickleague.co.uk, and we should say, on behalf of everyone here at the NPL show, we hope that all Northern Premier League sides make it through to the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. And just to add as well, even if you are playing one another, we hope you both win. There, disclaimer. One team, though, that we do want to win this weekend, joking aside, is Radcliffe Borough. And it's a big...
FC.
Is Radcliffe FC. And it's a big weekend for Radcliffe FC and their near neighbours from the North West Counties, Prestwich Hayes, because Prestwich Hayes against Radcliffe FC will be live on the red button on the BBC website. To bask in the glory of non-league football, on Thursday, I caught up with the chairman at Radcliffe FC. Here's Paul Hilton.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's really buzzing about it. It's a real once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, really, for some people involved in the club. And, you know, we've not really had a lot of notoriety recently. So to get this opportunity early in the FA Cup's, it's great for everyone.
And the camera, it's a 12:30 kickoff at AD Moran Park, and it's quite an advert as well, not just for Radcliffe, but for non-league football in the borough of Bury, I suppose, as well, because it's your near local rivals, Prestwich A's for the Northwest Counties, who've come up from the amateur game really as well, and it's going to be a great occasion, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We've got quite a close relationship with Prestwich as it stands. They're a great club, and we tend to meet up at pre-season most seasons. So they're on the up at the moment, and they've got a really good setup going on down there, and you know, we're impressed to see what they're doing, and it's nice for us to get this opportunity to sort of showcase Bury football together, really.
And it also comes on the back of I made the mistake several times on this week's show already about calling you Radcliffe Borough. I need to stop that. And every time, Potter, I've slapped my hand as I've done it. But it does come on the back of a bit of a rebrand for the club. And I suppose this is in marketing terms, this is a great way of announcing this is Radcliffe FC.
Yeah, it couldn't really be any better. It's been a couple of years in the making. You know, we started down the road of doing this a couple of years back, and it takes a little while for these things to settle in with the FA and various different governing bodies that have to ratify everything. But yeah, we're there now, and to get, you know, now we're officially Radcliffe Football Club, to get the chance to be, you know, go out to a nationwide, if not global audience, depending on who wants to watch it, with that brand, and kind of show off who we are and what we're doing and what we're about, and, you know, raise the profile of the club even further is an opportunity that just, we couldn't have even wished to happen this early in the life cycle. So it's come along really well for us. We're really chuffed.
And it also comes on the back of a great start to the season as well. I mean, 2 wins from 2 in the league. It's a stupid question to ask, but are you happy with the start that your side's made?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. John came in last year with an idea about how he wanted to play football, and it's took time to get that right, because he came in with a squad that wasn't his own, and he spent all of last season. We kind of wrote the season off, you know, when he came in and said, "Look, find what it is you need to find," and gave him the time to do it. With an aim to start well this season and take advantage of the reorganisation and be ready to really make an assault at it this year. And he's put a really good blend of players together. You know, we've always been a club who've been adamant that we want to develop players. We've got a really good track record of it. It's relatively well known, so that can't stop for us. That's how we are. But there was John wanted to bring an element of balance to that, and he's done that, and we're reaping the rewards now. And it's fair play to John and his coaching staff for putting a really balanced, high quality side together that he has done.
And I do the Manchester League show, obviously, and I've spoken to Radcliffe juniors in the past, and they're excited about the pathways that are being created at Radcliffe FC, and the way that conveyor belt can be created.
Yeah, that was something that was really identified early doors when we got in. There was no real direct progression for the people of Radcliffe and the wider area in there to develop through into the club. And Radcliffe Juniors were a club that we had a great partnership with anyway, in terms of, you know, using facilities and stuff like that. It's a club I used to represent myself back in the day, and it made sense for us to sit down and start bringing the clubs together as one. Because you need youth, you need to be able to develop and promote development. And so, yeah, now that we have, you know, we're essentially able to, as a club, as a joint larger club, provide football from 6 years old up to open age, through an academy system, through an under-21 system, and into the football pyramid. So we've really now grown into a proper football club in terms of serving the community.
And what a way to inspire people as well, and to inspire kids than watching your side on the red button and online.
Yeah.
12:30 kickoff on Saturday. It's Prestwich A's against Radcliffe FC. And Paul, a big thank you for joining us, and we hope you win.
No, thanks very much. Good to speak to you.
So Paul Hilton joining us there, and I think that's enough for Radcliffe this week. James, just before we go, we do need to mention all the marvellous radio stations that covered the Evo Stick League on Tuesday evening. Quite a remarkable number of stations bringing exposure to the league. I think on Wednesday evening when we record this, the match between Kidsgrove and Trafford, that's also on a radio station. It's brilliant stuff. Doff our caps to all the radio stations and all the volunteers involved.
And even then, there was three stations that were missing that night. So, in effect, we've got 16 clubs or radio stations involved in the league. Of course, FC Radio themselves joining in the fun this year. Potentially, every weekend now, there's half the league now covered by radio. So, well done, not just to the volunteers, that the clubs that do it as well, but the radio stations getting involved. Let's get every club involved before the end of the season, if we can.
So, it's now time for fixture preview. And joining us from the non-league paper and the Yorkshire Evening Post, we're now joined by the welcome return to the fabulous, it's Thomas Feeney. Hello, Tom, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. Before we get to the fixture preview bit for the Premier Division, it'd be remiss of us not to just talk about the Eastern Bloc, how Division 1 East has gone. And it's been a great start for the Yorkshire clubs. Ossett United, 2 wins from 2. Pontefract Crolls, 2 wins from 2. 2 wins from 2 as well for Stamford, as well as for Frickle Athletic. It's been a great start for the Yorkshire clubs.
Yeah, it really has. And I think for different reasons as well, those three teams that you've mentioned, Ossett United, Pontefract Crolls and Frickle Athletic, I had good hopes, high hopes for them three teams. Obviously, Ossett United, with what's gone on, the two teams merging in Town and Albion, there was a lot of optimism, a lot of hope that something good could happen. And, you know, already a really encouraging start. And I think for what Ossett United have been able to do is take the best aspects of Town, the best of Albion, combine the two, and so far, so good. You look at Pontefract, and, you know, last season, I watched them a few times in the NCL Premier, and they were fantastic to watch. And it was whether or not they could take that, move it forward, you know, a division higher, but fair play to them so far. You know, an unbeaten start, a perfect start so far. And then, obviously, for Frickley, last season, it's so near yet so far in the getting into them playoff places. On another season, they weren't facing a team who were top of the league and, you know, dominated the league. There's a good chance they'd have gone up. So, really good to see them three teams doing so well at the moment.
Now, we should say we recorded this on Wednesday, so there's a chance that Belper might be joining that list of teams with 2 wins from 2 heading into this weekend's match. Matt Carruthers last week said from his northeast perch that he wouldn't be surprised if Frickle Athletic wins the league, but it isn't going to be that straightforward because, you know, as we touched upon there, the likes of Stamford, the likes of Belper, I was going to say Mass United as well, but Frickley have already beaten Mass United. It's going to be an interesting league this season, Division 1 East. Let's talk about the matches in the Premier Division. We should say there's going to be a Division 1 show out at the end of the month. Well, as we've got you on, we should really start with Farsley Celtic, Tom, and blimey, a great start to the season for Farsley Celtic.
When the fixtures came out, I know, you know, Adam Lightland will have said, what he said was, we're going to take it a game at the time. There's, you know, no need to panic, no need to look at where we are. But, I mean, really, to me, you're looking at the two toughest games of the season almost, first two games. And to say that Farsley have left them two games top of the table, winning both matches, it is absolutely incredible. You know, I thought beating Warrington, I thought, let's see what happens, because South Shields are just the team, they know how to win. You know, they've got such an incredible, you know, they've had, what, 3-4 fantastic seasons back to back, and this was going to be a real test for Farsley. And I know South Shields had two men sent off, you know, but still, looking at it in terms of before the season had begun, if you'd have told Farsley Celtic they'd be top of the table with them two wins, I think they'd have snapped your hand off, because they've, you know, really two tough games, two big wins. And I think for Farsley, the big thing was, a bit like Frickley, the division below, they had a good season last time round, and what they've done is they've strengthened it to their squad. So, you know, they were able to keep players like Danny Ellis. To me, I think Danny Ellis is a phenomenal central defender. You know, I'm a really big fan of Danny, and it's one of those, keeping a player like that, the Turners as well being kept, and then being able to add players like Hayhurst, you know, players with real quality for this division, and so far so good for Celtic.
Should say there is a match taking place on Friday evening between Mickleover Sports and North Ferriby United, but Farsley Celtic back in action on Monday when they host Hensford Town, and we had Rob Smith on earlier. The other team with a 100% record at the moment is Whitby Town. Great start for Whitby Town as well, Tom. And this weekend they're playing Witton Albion on Saturday.
Yeah, I think for Whitby it's kind of the big signing for me was Dale Hobson. You know, to get him back from Blyth Spartans, what he is, he's a guaranteed goal scorer. And I think last season, there were times you looked at the goalkeeping situation, you looked at the defence, you looked at the midfield, and you thought, aspects are there, they just need somebody to get the ball in the back of the net. It was that simple. And getting Dale Hobson back, he scored the winner against Northerby United in a real, you know, a tight game, but one where Whitby left with a deserved 3 points. And I think for Whitby, Hobson is the key signing. And to have him back now, I think Whitby, without Hobson, you'd probably be saying mid-table would be the aim. Now I think you've got to say it has to be, you know, certainly going for a push to try and get promoted, because he is that good a player and he really completes the team. So it's going to be a tough game this weekend, though, and I think it's another one for Whitby. You know, obviously only 2 games and you don't want to be putting too much false hope at the door, but for Whitby, if they can win that one, all of a sudden you'd be thinking, right, good little run of form, and with the players they've got and the form they've got as well, you know, anything's possible.
And game of the weekend might be that one at Flamingoland Stadium, Scarborough against Whitby Town. Also this weekend, Matlock Town have had a decent start to the season, a very good start on Saturday, followed up with a draw midweek against Scarborough. And this weekend, Matlock will be playing on Bank Holiday Monday as they travel to Gainsborough Trinity. And Gainsborough Trinity are now off the mark as well. And also having a decent start this season is Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge on Monday take on Warrington Town. And for Warrington, it all starts on Saturday for them for this weekend's matches. Before that Bamber Bridge match, they'll be hosting Stalybridge Celtic. And for Stalybridge, after that match with Warrington, they'll be taking on Workington on Monday. For Workington on Saturday, it's Buxton coming to town. South Shields, what a game that was on Tuesday evening. They're taking on Stafford Rangers on Saturday. And like Buxton, I think Stafford would have preferred a better start.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I think the thing for South Shields is, first of all, that they will just be looking at that game against Farsley and probably saying it's a write-off. You know, two players sent off in such a short space of time against a very good team away from home. Their aim now will be to, you know, start going again. But again, they're facing a team who haven't made that the best of starts. And another team, you know, this is the thing with the Evostick Premier is, I think there isn't a team that's looking and thinking, we haven't got a chance of getting, you know, near the playoff places. So I think, you know, you look at what is there in terms of the squad and in terms of, you know, the management team in place, you'd say that they could be aiming a bit higher. So, and it's another really intriguing game and be interesting to see what happens.
South Shields will follow that up on Bank Holiday Monday with an away trip to North Ferriby. Stafford Rangers will be hosting Mickleover Sports on Bank Holiday Monday. Also on Saturday, we've got one of the surprise packages I'm going to suggest in these opening two games. Nantwich Town taking on Lancaster City. And Lancaster City not had the best of starts, to say the least. Bottom at the moment. But like you say, it is early days. And Nantwich will be travelling to Wincham Park on Bank Holiday Monday to take on Witton Albion. For Lancaster, they'll be hosting Marine on Bank Holiday Monday. Speaking of Marine will be hosting Basford United. And we spoke about starts of the season. I don't think anyone was expecting Basford to be played two, lost two at this stage of the season. But they have played two difficult sides in Hyde United and Hensford Town.
It's one of those, you know, if they were able to have gained a couple of points from that, you'd have said that is a real, you know, a marker for them, because, you know, Hyde United are clearly going to be one of the teams you'd consider, you know, to be going for it again after the season they had. But again, you know, they sort of had, you know, last season was a perfect season for them almost. And I think a lot of people, myself included, thought that with the momentum that they had and, you know, all the positives that they had from last season, they'd be able to continue that going forward. So I think this is a real, you know, 2 games in again, but it's a real moment for them, you know, to reflect and to react to this, because it's a shock. I bet it'll be a shock to the players as well and the management team in terms of, you know, this is a team that last season didn't really know how to lose. And all of a sudden, 2 games in, they're one of two teams that haven't got a point on the board. So for them, it is all about the reaction. And, you know, you would expect with what they've got there that they will be able to react as well very soon.
And a big thank you to Thomas Vina for joining us on this week's show. You can follow Tom's work on Twitter. Just look him up at Thomas Vina. That's F-E-A-H.
Eny. And that is the end of this week's EvoStick NPL show. How we've managed to cram this into an hour, I have no idea. But a big, big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed this pan-northern show that we've brought you this week. And a special thanks too to the media teams at Matlock Town, at Farnsley Celtic, and of course the radio stations 26-0 and Live Sports FM for allowing us access to their interviews and content this week. And also a big thank you to our hosts earlier in the show, Stalybridge Celtic. But that is the end of this week's EvoStick NPL show. You can keep up to date with all the latest goings on from the Northern Premier League, as well as all the fixtures and all the results, by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also find this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.